Anytime I fly, I love being able to say, oh, no, 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 I don't have any baggage. Paul would say, you big prevaricator. Liar, liar, trousers aflame, it just isn't so. All of God's children have baggage. Follow along with me if you would. Press the button there. And let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to read you a passage. You know, Corinthians, both 1 and 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians brought more broadly so, are very confessional and very personal letters from Paul. Paul gets mad. Paul gets frustrated. Paul gets defensive. Paul gets urgent. And in this section of 1 Corinthians 15, in which he's trying to get them to understand the power of grace, in which he is warning them against those who would say that the resurrection hasn't even taken place, Paul lays out his life, as he so often does, beginning by claiming his baggage. For I am, if you can see it on the screen, read it out loud. It's from the NIV if you want to read it out loud out of your Bibles. Let's go. Let's read the yellow together. For I am the of all the, and do not even to be called. Could you back up a minute and read that with a little more juice? I know it's after lunch, but I'm going to ask you when you get to the word deserve to say it as though you really, I don't deserve this. When's the last time you received something you didn't deserve? Some are saying the chewing out I got over lunch I didn't deserve. No, when you receive something wonderful that caused you to say, oh my goodness, this is too much. I just don't deserve this. Can you read it with that kind of passion? Because I believe that's the way Paul wrote it. Here we go. For I am the of the apostles, and do not even to be called an apostle, because I the church of God. Now hold up for just a second. I'm not sure how many years later we're talking, whether you want to go 4, 5, 10, 15, but it has been a while since Paul was a Christian killer. And yet he takes time with a church that is riddled with problems. What do you know about the Corinthian church? What do you know about them? It's a fine congregation. Central Church of Christ in Corinth. You'd have loved to have your family there. Can you imagine going with me there on a Sunday morning? As you walk in the door and you see some people over here who are pointing at people over here and a group over here who's pointing over there and they don't even talk to one another. When the communion begins to be served, people are grabbing it and swigging it. And when you taste it, you go, oh, they use real wine here. And the fellow next to you drinks all 15 of the cups in the tray. And when they pass the bread plate to you, there's no bread. And you see the folks in the row in front of you have tucked it in their pocket. They've gone ahead and eaten and there's none left for you. Behind you, you hear a fellow saying, take it, take it. And you turn around and somebody is serving somebody legal papers in church. And then you spot this couple. At first you think, well, is that a mother and a son? But he's got his arm around his mama in an awfully familiar way. And then he snuggles up next to her and gives her kind of a smooch on the cheek in the middle of the worship service. And you're thinking, what in the world? So you lean over to one of the members and say, can you tell me? Oh, yeah, they're newlyweds. Really? Yeah, it was his stepmom, but then he, you know, went ahead. What? I know. We put him on the front of our directory, actually, their picture. Paul would say, this church is a huge mess. Everybody remember that about the church at Corinth? Now, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and if there's something I expect him not to do, it's to mention any of his baggage. And yet that's exactly what he does. That's why this caught me off guard. Paul, what are you doing? Part of me wants to say, Paul, when you're trying to be authoritative in teaching, you don't want to tell them that you've got problems too. Because quite frankly, his problems are just about as monumental as getting drunk during the Lord's Supper, or members suing one another, or even this terrible thing of a man taking his father's wife. Paul says, well, let me tell you what I used to do. I used to kill Christians. In fact, that's how he starts most of his sermons. Do you realize that? Most of his sermons start with, you know, I was on my way to Damascus a while back to kill some Christians when, and that's how his sermon begins. Every now and then we'll have people come speak for our congregation, sometimes with interesting and checkered backgrounds. And you can kind of see the eyes pop open when the fellow doing the communion meditation who hasn't been a member very long says, I learned some important things during the 8 years I was in prison. Let me tell you, every member in the church is going, what? Prison? He's not one of the junior high sponsors for next week's trip, is he? I mean, you think about how you would react if you heard that one of your members had some colorful background. And some of you are sitting out there, one of two feelings. Either one, you're saying, my goodness, I'd be so upset. Or two, you're saying, that's me. I'm the guy with a colorful background. Now, I'm going to suggest that every single one of us have a colorful background. Some of us have just learned to hide it better than others.